First Thessalonians 5:23. It's maybe familiar to you. The hardest part of any lesson is finding the right lesson. And I thought we'd teach on worry today, but when I got those notes out, I actually couldn't make that work. My heart wouldn't grab hold of it. When you teach by the Spirit, as we always try to do, we have to know what the Spirit is saying, where the Spirit is located, what truth He wants us to hear. So that not working, I thought I'd go into peace, and I was reading some scriptures on peace, and came to this, the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. And when I did, I realized the lesson was just below that. Sanctify you wholly, that we should talk about spirit, soul, and body. And I want to talk today specifically about soul control, about the war that occurs in the soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions. The God of peace sanctify you wholly. That's complete and full in every part. If I gave you a pie, said you could eat the whole thing, that's all 8 pieces. You know, some of us are capable. And God said, I want you, all of you, every part of you, to be sanctified or set apart, dedicated, completely surrendered to the Lord. Spirit, soul, and body, that's the 3 parts. Be preserved, blameless. We did some canning, and when you do some canning, you're very careful how you preserve them. And when you preserve something, it's to keep them from loss, to keep them from injury. So he wants to keep us from loss, keep us from injury. He wants us to be blameless or faultless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this verse always confused me because it's preceded by a lot of y'all do this and y'all do that. That's a southern y'all. And I thought, my goodness, it's a lot of assignment here. Rejoice always and always give thanks and don't despise prophesying and pray without ceasing and comfort the weak, the feeble-minded, and overcome evil with good. All of that precedes this. And I thought, that is a pretty hefty assignment. If I'm going to be preserved blameless, that's a pretty hefty assignment. And I found out later that the key was in the next verse. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. It does depend on me. Now I have a part to play. There's some things I'm going to do. I'm going to put my whole heart into pray without ceasing. I'm going to put my whole heart into everything give thanks. I'm going to put my whole heart into honoring the prophetic word. I'm going to put my whole heart into helping the feeble-minded. That's just those that are puny in spirit. But in the end, no matter what I do, God is going to have to come in and sweep up the pieces and sanctify wholly. And without the help of the Spirit, we're not ever going to be all He wants us to be. Now look at Ephesians chapter 4 it is. We have the help of the Spirit, but we have the help of prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and apostles, that's verse 11, that are placed in the church to help us. It says to protect for the perfecting of the saint. That's about the same as sanctifying wholly, being blameless. Perfecting is maturing and growing up and being full of God. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, all of us, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That means we're supposed to be as big as He is. We're supposed to represent Him on the earth. There's supposed to be no confusion as whose side we're on. That we henceforth be no more children. So we are supposed to grow up. That's what verse 15 says. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him. Well, there's a key to growth. And the key to growth is found in 1 Peter. We're going to grow up. We're going to be perfected. Spirit, soul, and body. The spirit is the inward man. Are the hidden man. 1 Peter chapter 2, you probably know this little verse. Newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Every Christian is supposed to grow up in God. It's supposed to be the height of the stature, the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's supposed to lay aside and recognize, to grow up enough to recognize false doctrine, those things which are deceptive, and lay all of those aside. And to allow the body of Christ to be a part of our life, to edify us and strengthen us and to help us to grow up. Now, God gives specific instructions for the spirit, the soul, and the body. Turn to, I think it's 2 Corinthians 4. And we're only going to grow up as we honor the instructions of heaven. 2 Corinthians 4 talks about the inward man. The inward man is the spirit man, the man on the inside. Verse 16, which cause we faint not, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man, you recognize that's the flesh, the body, we could say flesh. And he's perishing. Well, nobody has to tell you that. Look in the mirror. Isn't that right? But the inward man, it says, renewed day by day. So every day, the inward man is the same as he was the day before, growing up, strong in God, not deteriorating, not decaying. Now, Peter confirms that for us. And how is he growing up? He's growing up because he honors the Word, because he meditates in the Word. It's the Word that helps us to grow. 1 Peter chapter 3 talks about women's responsibility to their husbands, especially husbands who do not walk with God. And it says in verse 3, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair, the wearing of gold, putting on apparel. It was not knocking the outward appearance. It was just saying that that isn't the first responsibility you have. The first responsibility is the hidden man of the heart. Now, Paul called it the inward man. Peter called it the hidden man. If I put on a pair of gloves, my hand is both inward and hidden. So that's exactly the same thing. Now, Paul said the inward man is renewed day by day, or always new. But Peter is going to say that he's incorruptible. Not corruptible or incorruptible, which is the same thing. If you're renewed day by day, you're not corruptible. If you're renewed day by day, you're not decaying. You're the same every day. It's like God's mercies are new every morning. And so those are the same thing. It helps us when we read the Scripture to get the like terminology together. As I've said many times, it depends on the age of the person you ask, if they think it's lime green or chartreuse or granny apple green. It's all about the same shade. Well, this is the same message. We are a spirit being living in a physical body, and the spirit is called the inward or hidden man, and it's incorruptible. It's renewed all the time, and it's to grow up through the Word. That means I have to take time to make a Word deposit. Now, the spirit man, according to Romans 8, is led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives leadership to the spirit. He gives understanding. We're never going to grow up just because we want to, because we have willpower, bulldog tenacity. You know verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The sons of God are led. So the spirit man is led by the Holy Spirit. You know the 23rd Psalm, he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And everything we do, we're going to be led. We're going to follow the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to lead the human spirit. He's going to tell us where to go, where to stand, what to do. He's going to lead us every step of the way. And so we need Him. Now look at 1 Corinthians 2. And you'll never grow up without Him. Now this is probably the most important part. Because sometimes we reach for the stars, and we can't even cross the street to the house next door. You know what I mean? So we all have to grow up, and we all have to work with the Spirit and heed the Spirit and honor the Spirit and know that He is the one who's going to lead us in the right direction. Now this says, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, God hath revealed to them the things of God unto us by His Spirit. The Spirit brings revelation. Revelation's when you see what you didn't see. Like if you sit in a dark room with all the curtains pulled, you can't see anything. The lights are off. But if you open the curtain, suddenly you have revelation. You see the outside. And it says, God hath revealed the things of God unto us by His Spirit. The Spirit brings revelation. If you look down at verse 13, which things also we speak in words which man's wisdom, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, which the Holy Ghost teaches. The Holy Ghost is the teacher. So this is how the spirit man is going to grow up. He's going to allow the Holy Ghost to teach him, to bring revelation, and to lead him. He's going to honor the Holy Ghost. And we're going to walk with the Holy Ghost through the Scripture. And that's a continual life-going process. It's not that you ever learn it all. One thing I'm looking forward to in heaven, I'm enrolling in school. I got some questions. I'm pretty sure there'll be somebody there that can answer them. And I'm thrilled about that. I can't wait for that. But look, revelation, teaching by the Spirit. But do you see it says comparing spiritual things with spiritual things? This is not a mind game. This is my spirit, now born again, in tune with God, desiring to grow, reading the Word, and depending on the Holy Spirit to lead and reveal and to teach. Now, let me compare spiritual things to spiritual for you. You have the Word of God, John 6:63, which is spirit. God's Word is spirit. You are a spirit being. John 3:6, your spirit man is born again. Therefore, if anybody be in Christ, he's a new creature. The spirit man, the man on the inside, the hidden man, the inward man, is born again. So you have a new born again spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside. He lives in you. Know you not, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 3:6. So you're a spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in you, and he's going to teach you the word, which is spirit. So growing up is a spirit transaction. You know, when I came up in church, I didn't even know it was a spirit. I found that out. First Bible study I ever went to, that was a lesson for today. First Pentecostal Bible study. I was just, my mind was just off the charts. I'm just, you know, first of all, you wonder why somebody didn't tell you. And I know why you didn't. They didn't tell you because they didn't know. That was probably the truth. But you got to honor the spirit. You got to compare spiritual with spiritual. The Holy Spirit takes the word, which is spirit, explains it to the human spirit. Compare spiritual things. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit takes the word, which is spirit, and tells it to the mind. Now, the mind is going to get its information. The mind is the soul. And it's the mind, will, and emotions. And as the spirit is taught and begins to grow up, begins to lay aside the things that are deceptive, begins to recognize truth and be strong in spirit, that information is going to come from the spirit. Here's the spirit, and here's the body, the flesh. Now, it's going to go through the mind into the spirit, where the Holy Spirit is going to bring the revelation of the teaching that you need. And then as the spirit begins to grasp that, it's going to come back up to the soul. And just because we don't know where else to put the soul, we put the soul where the brain is. But when you die, the brain's in the dirt, the soul's in heaven. So I'm not making an equivalency there. I'm just putting it there for the sake of reference. Now, the soul is the mind. And the mind always says, I know that. I know that. Don't you wish I could write? Well, how is the mind going to know anything? You know, I don't know about you. I just know me, and I was a good student, and I could memorize most anything, and I passed the biology test because she said it's free from the glossary. So I memorized the glossary from A to Z, and I could quote it that day from A to Z. I was the only one that made 100. That doesn't mean it helped me tomorrow. I just memorized it. Didn't mean I had any understanding. If I'm to, you know, I can memorize some scripture. My mind is not as keen as it was because my heart's sharper. My spirit man is sharper. But the mind is going to get its information from the spirit, who gets it from the Holy Spirit. And I'm growing in spirit, and my spirit is informing and teaching my mind this is the truth. Now, when I get in a jam, that's what I'm talking about. When I get in a jam, the key is the spirit and the soul working together and standing against the flesh. The mind says, I know that. But the will said, I choose that. Choose? I don't even know how you spell choose. I choose that. I have a secretary, you know. Two O's?
Well, you chose. That was a good one, too.
I choose that. The will always says, I choose that. Well, it can't choose what it doesn't know. The will has to decide, and once it has information, once it has the right information from the spirit, then it can make the right choice. Now, the emotions say, I agree. And here's the deal. What the emotions agree on depends upon what's stronger in my life, the body or the spirit and soul. The emotions are like, and the soul itself is like the pendulum of a clock. We have several with pendulums. Wayne set them all today just before lunch, and for the first day they all ring at once, and then tomorrow that'll be over. But they swing back and forth. The soul and the emotions swing back and forth, and it's going to go like a magnet to the stronger force. And if the body says, you're very afraid, this isn't going to work out for you, I don't know what you're ever going to do. And if the soul hasn't been renewed, look at Romans 12. The soul hasn't been renewed if it doesn't know that. Now the spirit's going to have revelation that God has not given us spirit of fear, The Spirit's going to know that. The Spirit's going to tell the soul. The soul is going to put that in the memory bank. And so that when the body says, you're very afraid, this isn't going to work out if you don't know what you're ever going to do, and you begin to tremble in fear, the Spirit reminds the soul, and the soul says, no, wait a minute. We know. Let me tell you what we know. We know. We know something. We know something. We know something. God's not given a spirit of fear. We know that. Fear thou not, I'm with you. And so the emotions are going to be quieted because they're not heeding the flesh. And it isn't that the flesh's report is not accurate. It's just that it's not honored. And that's very important. Now, I spent 2 or 3 months on ice with my back. Was that last year? And when I could stand the pain no longer, Wayne took me to the clinic. They took me upstairs. They felt real sorry for me. They said, I'm going to get you a wheelchair. I said, no, sir, I prefer to walk. Actually, walking was a little bit less painful than sitting. They thought I was being noble, but I wasn't being noble. I was in too much pain. Nobility had nothing to do with it. I was just in tremendous pain. And they sent me down for a shot, and they didn't check me in, and Wayne checked on them, and he said, you know, my wife is in pain, and they said, we're waiting on authorization, and we waited and waited. Now, my soul is in a battle. It has two reports. It has a report of heaven from the Spirit that says, by Jesus' stripes, you're healed. My soul is in a battle. It's in a crunch time. What does it know? Where is it going to stand? Is the soul going to come like a magnet into alignment with the Spirit, or is it going to let the emotions, is it going to let the flesh is registering pain. Now, that was a real accurate report. It was pain. It was accurate. The report was accurate. Just I can't honor that report and stand with the Spirit. I've got to make a choice here. I've got to choose. I can't make the right choice unless my mind knows what my spirit knows. Now, that's what Paul meant in Romans 12. First, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I like that. Translators do a lot of different things with that word reasonable service, but I just like it like that. This is really reasonable. This is not unreasonable. This is reasonable. Now, it says flesh has to be crucified, but it says it's still living. That simply means we cannot honor the report of the flesh and the report of God. We've got to crucify the flesh. It means we're not listening. I'm not paying attention to the flesh. Now, Abraham had the report of heaven that he and Sarah would bear a child. They were 65 and 75. The scripture ideas their ages. When 25 years passed. And now they're 90 and 100. Actually, it doesn't seem like a good idea to me, God, but okay. At 90 and 100. Their body says one thing. Their body says this will never happen. And I have a theory. This is Becky's theory. This is not word of God. I looked up to see the oldest woman that ever gave childbirth. I figured God might have waited until nobody could say, well, that just happens once in a blue moon, and it might have happened to her anyway. And the oldest woman to give childbirth was 63. So God waited long enough till we can't say at 90, well, that would have happened anyway. I mean, that wasn't going to happen. Now they've got the report of the flesh. But he gives us in Romans 4 the clue. It says they considered not. It wasn't that the report of the flesh was inaccurate. It was totally accurate. They could not carry and bear and father children. It's an accurate report. But we have to honor one report or the other. If we're going to honor the flesh, the emotions are going to react. That's why you got hysterical. Ah, what are we ever going to do? Because you just listen to the flesh and not to the spirit. One man had 3 girls, and he thought it was funny to scare his girls, and he'd wait till after dark at night, and they were in their room. He'd go around and make noises at their window and scratch on things, and I just was horrified. Fear is never funny. It's never a joke. And what happened was they reacted, and they started hollering for mom and dad, you know, somebody in the yard, there's somebody in the yard, you know. Now, the only way we're going to keep our emotions out of it and keep our emotions quiet is to school ourselves into what does God say, what does the Spirit say, and to put that in our mind and crucify the flesh and say, no, listen, listen. Nobody's listening to you. I don't want your report. Now then it goes on to say, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. Reprogramming the mind. Or listen to me, reclaiming the mind. Now, the day you got born again, you became a new creature. The old man passed away. That's in two different Old Testament scriptures as well. It says, where he said, I'll make a place a new spirit within you. The old man passed away. But it says all things were new. But the mind, that means the spirit was new. The mind was not new. The body was not new. They were the same. So the mind and the body are going to have a tendency to do what they've always done. That's why somebody got born again, they keep smoking. Every now and then you hear a wild story. Daddy comes from a very large family. His brother got born again as a young man, as an adult, young adult. And he threw his cigarettes out, and that was the end of him. He didn't need them anymore. He was going to serve God without them. And Kenneth Copeland did the same. And then the next day, he went back to see if he could find them on the side of the road. That's the truth. You've heard him tell that. Because the body is the same. And the soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions, is exactly the same. It's got to be retrained, reprogrammed, renewed. It's got to have some new thoughts. Out with the old thoughts, in with the new. Just kind of like, you know, reviving somebody's CPR. Out with the bad air, in with the good. You know, is that how they do it? I don't know. Never had. Now look at James. That means I've got to school my spirit to grow up and school my mind so that my mind knows what my spirit knows so they can come into agreement. Verse 21, chapter 1. Therefore, lay apart, that means set it aside, cast it off, put it away, all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That's my favorite thing. We don't even know what that is, but we don't care. We're not interested in that. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions, and it is not saved. The mind is not saved. It is not saved. But it says you're going to receive the engrafted word. That's the word of the living God, which endures forever. Now, when they graft, the Cumbies lend their land to a man that was grafting orange trees. He was using sour root stock and putting sour orange stock and putting better grafting in some better fruit. And when they graft them, they bind them. And if you read the information, I went and read it, the information on grafting, it says the purpose of grafting, listen to this, is permanent union. Permanent union. Now, my mind is not saved. My soul is not saved. The soul includes your emotions, and you know your emotions aren't saved. You remember that day? It was clear they weren't saved. But if they're going to be saved, it's because they're going to make permanent union with the Word of the living God. And when the Spirit receives revelation, when the Holy Ghost leads the Spirit and teaches the Spirit and brings truth to the Spirit, and the Spirit lights up and that light flows into the soul, and the soul begins to know some things, it begins to process some things, and it begins to make some right choices. And when it knows some things and makes some right choices, then the emotions are not going to agree with the body of the flesh. They're going to agree with the Word. And that pendulum is going to make a strong bond, spirit-soul, with the Word. Engrafted Word, permanent union. Oh, my, now look at Romans 4. What a precious truth this is. Let's read this about Abraham. Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope. He didn't have any hope. That's natural human hope. It was over. But where did he get his hope? He got it from the Word of God. 119th Psalm talks about hope in the Word over and over again. Hope in the Word. Hope in the Word. He believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. He got his hope, his expectation from the promise that God had given him. He had the Word of God that he would be the father of many nations, of many families, that his seed would preach the gospel, would be the gospel seed, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he believed that, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. He believed that, even though his body denied that. Now, it's not unusual for your body to give a report that you just can't receive. You know, we think the body always lies. No, sometimes it tells the truth. The purpose of the flesh is for fleshly things. The flesh does not lead you in the ways of the Spirit. It does not and cannot speak for God. If you see a red light, and it looks like a traffic light turns red, then you should stop. If the flesh says that's red, it's red. The flesh has certain assignments, but they do not reveal or speak of the ways of God. And they have to be maintained at that level and crucified so that we don't elevate the flesh. And you know what we do? We say, well, I felt like. Why'd you do that? I felt like it. Well, I wanted to. Well, Martha said. And we let the flesh and our friends who are fleshly. Now look at 1 Corinthians 2. Speak into our life. But we've got to make some union here. We've got to have some revelation in the Spirit and some union with the Word in the soul so that we can keep our emotions out of this. You know, hysteria never profits. Have you ever had a moment where hysteria was just, wow, I'm glad I screamed and hollered and stomped. Wow, that was just, that was great. You know what they do? People usually back up. They say, okay, and they go the other way. They don't want to help you scream and holler. They don't even have time to know why you're screaming and hollering. They just want to get away from you. Now, look at verse 14. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. That's the sinner who doesn't have the Spirit, couldn't possibly know what God is saying. It's also many times the Christian who's not walking with God. There are carnal Christians and carnal Christians. The word carnal is flesh, like carnivores, flesh eaters. Carnal Christians, also, they walk in the natural. They're not walking with God. They're walking according to the flesh. And it says they'll never hear from God. They can't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can they know, because they are what? The things of God are what? They're discerned or understood spirit to spirit. The Holy Spirit teaching my spirit. My spirit being led of the Holy Spirit. My spirit having the truth revealed to me, my spirit helping me through the word to grow up in God and to pour down roots. Now, there was a movie when I was a girl, and they had an island. We didn't get TV till I was in the sixth grade. And my experience with TV and movies is very, very narrow, and it's been to my profit, actually, in the long run. But I suppose my daddy went to bed. He usually kept control of the TV and let me watch. But the storm was coming through in this small island, and they had this tree that they said could never be toppled over. Well, I looked at that tree in the movie, and I thought, we topple those all the time. Hurricanes come through, and those trees go, room. But in the movie, you can do anything you want to in the movie, see? In the movie, that tree's invincible. Does not come down. It's a very tree with very shallow roots, and supposedly this tree's got such strong roots, which it actually naturally doesn't. And so what they did in the movie, they tied the children to the trees because they know that tree's going to stand. Now, if I'm going to stand, I got to be tied to the right tree. And it's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm going to stand, if I'm going to be successful, if I'm not going to topple over, I got to be tied to the right tree. Now, those kids were... they were wet. They were windblown. They were exhausted. They were hungry, but they were alive in the movie. You know, you can do anything you want to. And we have those trees in Florida, and if they get much of a puff of wind, do not tie yourself to them. They're going over. But look, the natural man, that's the man's getting all his information from the flesh. And the flesh, it already says, doesn't hear from God. That's why it says crucified. It doesn't hear from God. It's not going to tell you what God is saying. The things of God are judged by the Spirit. And look at Romans 8. Understood by the Spirit. There's some powerful verses here. Verse 5. They that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. That means their opinion is fleshly. They're mentally disposed in the ways of the flesh. They that are of the flesh do mind or think or entertain the ways of the flesh. The flesh thinks fleshly. It thinks, how do you feel? What do you see? What have you heard? The flesh is fleshly. That's what the flesh does. It's fleshly. That's why it says crucified, because you're going to get wrong data, wrong information. You're not going to get information that's going to be in agreement with God. And when the information you get, when you can honor the flesh and promote the way of the flesh, then your emotions are going to be out of control every time, because they're going to swing in the direction of the stronger force. Everybody's done that. Everybody. Now look at verse 6. To be carnally minded. The word carnal is flesh. To be carnally minded is what? Death. That's separation from God. Separation from the blessing of God. Separation from the way of God. The carnal mind is the mind that's come into agreement with the flesh. It's the mind and the flesh in unity. The carnal mind, the flesh and the mind have come into agreement. For whatever reason, the mind is turned loose of the Word of God. Perhaps it never knew the Word of God. It has come into agreement with the flesh. Well, I was in so much pain, I thought I'm going to die. That's what we do. And instantly, we've come carnally minded. We've come into agreement with the flesh. Instead of the soul that knows some things about God that it understood because the Spirit had revelation. Now, I sat there waiting on my shot, and they like never come. And I was in a battle. I was in a war. It was a war. The pain. I mean, you're just inclined to agree with your flesh. Very difficult. I'm trembling. And I told Wayne, and I'm biting my lower lips. Wondered that I didn't bleed all over the place, just biting my lips. I told Wayne, I can't sit here. So he gets up, and they said, we're waiting on the signature. Wayne said, well, you need to get it, because I'm fixing to have a major flesh flash. My soul wanted to turn loose. I know by Jesus' stripes I was healed. I know he sent his word to heal me, but the pain caused my soul to want to turn loose. My soul was challenged by the flesh, and it wanted to just give up, turn loose, and say, I can't stand this. Well, they finally called me. Don't know the shot helped at all. Don't even know what it was. Didn't ask. Didn't care at that time. And weeks and weeks and weeks later, constantly bombarded by the flesh. Constantly the flesh says, not working, not working, give that up, give that up. If it can get my soul, my mind into agreement, and get my mind and soul into agreement, and turn loose by his stripes, I've got to stand with bulldog tenacity on by his stripes I'm healed. I cannot turn loose of that. I've programmed my mind. My mind has been renewed. It's been engrafted. It has that word in it. I have revelation in the Spirit. I have that in my mind. And the flesh kept saying, not true of you, not true of you, not true of you, not true of you. And it wants my, you know what it wants? It wants my soul to turn loose of that word. Turn loose, Becky, turn loose. And I wanted to a couple times. I have never had such pain in my entire existence. This affliction will not arise a second time. Now look, so the carnal mind, the mind in agreement, if it can get your soul, your mind, which is part of the soul, into agreement with your flesh, first of all, you're going to have an emotional attack that's going to embarrass everybody, including you. And second of all, you're going to be on the path of death or destruction, despondency, despair, discouragement. That's a wrong road. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I'm a spiritual being. I'm God's kid. I'm in his kingdom. I have his life and his nature. I'm growing and know his word, know more of it today than I ever knew last year, year before, constantly increasing in knowledge of the word and constantly schooling my mind so that the will can make the right choice. The will says I choose that, I decide that, but it's based upon the information that the Spirit has learned by revelation and programmed into the soul, which now knows some things. It says, oh, I know that. Oh, I know that. I said, what are you going to do? You don't have enough money. How far is payday? You said, I don't know what we'll ever do. But see if that's the flesh. But if the mind, if the spirit has revelation, by his stripes I'm healed, no, God meets all our need out of his riches in glory. And if the mind has been programmed, it comes into agreement. He says, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I know something. By his stripes, he sent his word to heal me. God will meet all my need out of his riches. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper, even as your soul prospers. The soul, the mind, is kind of like a hinge. And if I'm going to prosper, I've got to do. And it tells you that next verse. Look at 3 John. Keep your finger at Romans 8. I want to read a couple more verses there. Look at 3 John. Let me show you something. I'll show you how your soul prospers because it's very, very clear in 3 John. Verse 2. I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. That's when you know your soul is prospering. When you have the truth and you walk in that truth, that's soul prosperity. It's not just knowledge accumulated. It's not just I know that. It's that what I know, what I now know, guides my footsteps. What I now know makes my decisions. What I now know, I choose. What I now know about God, I choose. And then the emotions, which are always, they agree. They're going to agree with the spirit and the soul because we've overpowered the flesh and the report of the flesh. The flesh can be conquered. It can be overpowered. It can be put underfoot. That's why it says it must be crucified. Look back at Romans 8. Y'all getting this? Verse 9. You're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If the spirit of God dwells in you, if you're born again, the spirit of God is in you, and you're not walking by the flesh, you have a fleshly report, but that flesh report is not moving you, it's not distracting you, it's not causing you to turn loose of what God has said. God has said, I'm healed. And the day I was in so much pain, I was still healed. But I've got to take a stand. And you have to have somebody take a stand with you when you're that sick. I'm just going to tell you, don't even try to stand alone. Now look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. You don't owe your flesh anything. Well, why would you owe somebody something that every time you talk to them, they gave you wrong advice, they led you astray, they caused you to trip over the carpet, the rug runner? You know, we've had some experience with assisted living in nursing homes and rehabilitation. We've done all of that with different relatives. And I was telling precious little aunt who tripped over the rug, maybe we should get rid of the rug. And actually, they had said no rugs. No rugs. That's the rule there. No rugs. Because older people trip over rugs. She said, well, she ain't giving up that rug. I can see that. It's all over. She's not giving up that rug. See, she's in agreement with the flesh. The flesh says, walk on this rug, trip, and break your nose. And I don't know how many times she's been to the hospital because she tripped over something. One time hit her head on the bathtub, and that was a pretty serious deal. But she always recovers. It's Mama's sister's 90, going to be 92 this year, still living. Well, see, that's what we do. Sometimes we honor our flesh. I wanted that rug, but I wanted it. Now, I bought a sofa one time and two chairs. I picked out the fabric, and all night long I didn't sleep. I mean, I tossed and turned. I've never been in such a struggle in my life, and God was trying to speak to me. I had the money saved, actually, so I knew I could do this. But God was trying to speak to me not to do this, and so I just wasn't hearing. I wanted it. I didn't want to hear from God. I wanted it. And so the next day I called and I said, obviously I've picked out a fabric that I can't live with. I'm going to come in. Let's look at fabrics again. I'm going to change fabrics. And she said, that's fine. It's not been ordered. So we changed fabrics. I've still got it. Never have sat on it much. But you know what happened? We had an emergency. And when the first bill came, I no longer had the money to pay for it. Do you think God was trying to warn me? Do you think he was trying to get me into agreement with him and get me to turn loose of the flesh? And the flesh says, I like that, but I like it, but I like it, but I want it, but I liked it, but I want it. And And they never have really fit in my house. We put them over here. We put them over there. We move them around. I mean, Becky's folly. It was because my flesh said, you need that, you like that, you want that. And though God tried to deal with me, I shut him out because I wanted it. You're getting it right. I needed to hear this. That's why I'm telling you about it. We are not debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. You will never get a godly report from the flesh that doesn't know the things of God. Now listen, if you live after the flesh, you'll die. Now watch this. If you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. How are you going to keep the flesh crucified? Through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. You're not going to do it because you want to do it, because you have willpower, because you see that this is right and I've got to just say no to my flesh. Because sometimes the flesh says, I'm having another donut, I don't care what you say. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me tell you, I'm laboring to get to this so you'll get it. For a number of years, a lady undermined me continually until I really resented her. I can't tell you some of the things she did. We had a hard time. And my first book is on love for several reasons, and she was one. That was years later, you know, that I wrote the book, because the Lord instructed me to write the book. And I said, I'm not writing a book. I don't know why. You know, Dr. Hagin's got a book on love. That's where I got my information. They can read Dr. Hagin's book. And I just told the Lord, I'm not doing that. It's very easy to let your flesh rule. And then we were in a meeting in the chapel, where there was a chapel. Where was it? Down this corridor somewhere. And pastor comes along. I'm in row three, and he comes along to row three. And he says, somebody writing here is supposed to be writing a book. Oh, I was so disgusted. I said, Lord, I told you I didn't want to write a book. I don't want to write a book. I'll just tell him, read Dr. Hagin's book. It's an excellent book on love. And so I wrote it, and it's out there. We just remodeled it. We just revamped it. And made it a little easier to read. I almost let my flesh win there. See, the flesh has a very loud voice. It has a very loud voice. But by the Spirit. Well, I battled with that, and I was always polite to her. I was never rude. I listened to her, you know, and I nodded, and like I do, and I visited her a couple of times. I sent a couple of birthday cards. I did everything I do because you're supposed to overcome evil with good. That's the word of the Spirit. If you're going to get out of this, you've got to follow the word of the Spirit. You cannot let your flesh tell you you don't like her after what she's done to you. And I wasn't going to let that happen. But there was a place right here in my heart that I couldn't get rid of. It was behind this door, and I know it's right there, and it's resentment and it's bitterness. I mean, after all. Well, we had a guest speaker. I'd prayed about that over and over and over again. See, there is a point when if you don't have Holy Ghost help, you will never be free. There's a point in which you have done all you can do. And I had really done all as far as I knew. Now, I was never perfect, but I had really made an effort to do the right thing. You know what I tell you, buy donuts and send flowers and, you know, I'd done all, I just had made an effort. And I prayed for several years, and I guess it took that long for me to get in a position. But that night, a guest speaker, and I didn't even know what he preached on. I was sitting in the middle, 7 or 8 rows back. Something reached down and grabbed that thing and pulled it out. And it was gone. It was so supernatural and so gone. I had done what I could do. If you'll do what you're supposed to do, God can do what you cannot do. God will do what you cannot do. I was so excited. I went to tell Pastor. I ran up there and I told him how we'd had this long-standing feud, and I had done my part, as far as I knew, to do the right thing, to be nice and to be kind and to send birthday cards. And I said it was resentment, really resented her cornering me like that constantly, not just once, but constantly. And I said, that's gone. That's gone. It's gone. It's gone. And it was so gone. Wayne said, the next night, he said, what do you want to do? I said, well, let's go visit so-and-so. You know what he said? Really? Are you sure? You want to go over there? And we went and had a great visit. The pastor said to me, now listen, God's in the delivering business. But you've got to do your part. You're supposed to be the one crucifying the flesh and not letting the flesh tell you you hate her after what she did to you. Not letting the flesh tell you, I wouldn't speak to her if she's the last person on the face of the earth. Because you're letting your flesh have a sentence, so you've got to put the flesh under. And the soul has got to come into agreement with the spirit that says, now overcome that by doing a good thing. Not thinking a good thing, by doing a good thing. Pastor says to me, you're the fourth person that's given me that exact story tonight. And the Holy Ghost came through and he said, I'll take that. And I'll take that. And I'll take that. And Becky, I'll take that. There is a point of divine deliverance. But if you're meaner than a snake, you might miss it. You might miss it. Maybe that's enough. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Bring deliverance and freedom, Father. Instruct us how to fulfill your will and your wishes. Show us how to walk by the Spirit. Galatians says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We've got to walk in the Spirit. We've got to walk by the Word. We've got to walk by revelation. We've got to walk by understanding. We've got to reprogram, reclaim our mind. It was a sinful mind, and now you're born again, and that mind can be reclaimed for God. Can be reclaimed. Reclaim it. So help us, O Lord. Help us, O Lord. Help us, O Lord. Hallelujah. Now you just tell God where you need help, because I don't know. I just know me. The next night, Wayne said, what do you want to do tonight? Next night was a Saturday. I said, let's go visit so-and-so. He said, Becky, we are not going two nights in a row. She will think that really happened. He can tell you. He said, she will think you're crazy. Well, I was happy as a lark. Because this place right here, I'd walked right as far as I could. I'd talked right. I'd never ignored her. I hadn't passed her by. But she was a snake in disguise. But I cannot be a snake because she is. Amen. Do you know what it says? Love is never provoked. Have you ever thought about the word provoked? It's a reaction. When you're provoked, somebody's action has caused you to react. What they did, you're ugly, 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 ugly because of what they did. Provoked. That's what provocation is. You pinned me down. You acted against me. You said what I didn't like. Now I'm going to react. Well, I think we'll do one more week of this. I have some more scripture you should see. Raise your hand to heaven. Now say, Father, this is what I think I need. This is what I need. This is what I need. You tell him. You tell him what you need. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Father. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to be free, Father. I'm so glad to be free. I'm so glad to be free. I'm so glad she never bothers me. I'm so glad. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. The Spirit came. The Spirit came, crucified the flesh. The Spirit came and said, I'm backing you up, Becky. I'm backing you up, Becky. I'm backing you up, Becky. Follow me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now boldly say, what I cannot do, God will do for me. He said, sanctify you holy, spirit, soul, and body, preserving you blameless. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. He's going to do it. You can't do it. He's going to do it. But you can't be idle either. He's not going to knock you down and take bitterness if you're enjoying your bitterness. Because I'm having that bitterness, it doesn't look good on a Christian. Give me that. Just like you couldn't take somebody's coat or sweater, say, that's the ugliest sweater I've ever seen. You can't, I just jerk that sweater off. You don't wear that sweater anymore. God ain't going to do that to you. But God answers prayer. And I said, God, is there anything else I can do? Anything I've overlooked? Any moment of meanness that passed me by? There might have been, you know, when the pressure's ongoing. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. He's so good to me. Oh, Father, thank you that you answer prayer. By the Spirit, God answers prayer. God answers prayer. He's so good to me. I will bless the Lord for rescuing me and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. I will bless you, Lord, with all my heart and all that is within me. Bless your holy name. Do you know what 1 Peter 2:25 says? You know 1 Peter 2:24 says, Himself by His stripes were healed. What does verse 25 say? Or maybe it's 26. Do you know what it says? It says, you've come unto Jesus, the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Been there all along. It's in there. It's been there all along.